Please get your Bibles, and if you would, turn with me to the book of Ezekiel this evening. The major prophet Ezekiel, to the 34th chapter. In many ways, I told Jason this morning that I wish he would just get up and preach the same sermon that he preached this morning, and that we could just come to the table. It's just so beautiful to hear of our great interceding mediator, our high priest Jesus. Tonight we're going to look at the theme, though, of being fed. And this is a long chapter, and I think I'm going to begin in verse 7, and I will read through verse 16, and then I think I'm going to jump down to verse 25 to the end of the chapter. But the main focus this evening I really want us to be thinking about is really in the section around verses 13, 14, and 15. So let's give our careful hearing there. I'll mark those jumps when we get there. I'll start the reading, though. In verse 7, it's within a rebuke against bad shepherds. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore you shepherds hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on grazing land and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. And then down at verse 25. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase. And they shall be secure in the land. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I break the bar of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslaved them. They shall no more be prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. Please bow with me briefly in prayer. Our Lord and our God, we have heard you speaking in your word, and we come to you tonight as the great shepherd of us, your sheep, and we ask now that you would feed us on the rich food that only you can provide. Our eyes again are fixed on you, O Lord. May you meet our needs tonight. May you minister to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, before we come to the Lord's table, I want us to reflect on the subject of being fed by God. Our passage is very clear that God desires his people to be fed, and that he will make sure that we, his people, are fed. These truths are beautiful. These truths are very encouraging. A passage like this demonstrates how kind and how good our God is to us. Indeed, there's enough in this passage. We didn't even read the whole chapter, but there's enough in this passage, just from the reading of it, I think, to prompt us to praise and thanksgiving. If we heard nothing else tonight, we can leave knowing that our God cares for us, and he has pledged to take care of us now and eternally. But lest we stop short of the real treasure in this truth, because there is a real treasure in the truth that God will feed us. And so lest we stop short of the real treasure in that truth this evening, I want us to look just a little bit deeper at the subject of being fed by God, because the true and ultimate aim of the promise is something much deeper and more lasting than merely the promise of getting a meal when we are hungry. In fact, it's much more than just sustenance so that we can keep on living. God's intent behind his promise to feed us is nothing less than the promise of eternal union and communion with him. God's intent, the intent behind his promise to feed us, is nothing short of the promise of eternal union and communion with him. In other words, a vital, life-sharing relationship between us, his people, and him, our God. I want us to begin by just thinking a little bit about the promise of God to feed his people. Throughout the scriptures, we learn of God's promise to feed his people both explicitly and implicitly. An example of an implicit promise of God to feed his people is that when he created mankind, he placed our first parents in the garden, giving them all, except one, all the trees of the garden as their food, providing for their every need. He promised to, and he gave, the children of Israel bread from heaven, the manna in the wilderness. Again, an absolute demonstration that he will always take care of and feed his people. David wrote psalms, many psalms. We're going to sing four of them tonight, and there's tons more. But David wrote psalms acknowledging how God is faithful to feed and to take care of his people. And throughout the latter part of the Old Testament, in fact, in the prophets, through his prophets, God repeatedly spoke in these what we might call shepherding pictures, like we have in the text before us tonight, speaking of how he would raise up shepherds after his own heart. And here's the more beautiful and more important thing. Not only would he raise up shepherds after his own heart, but he promised that he would ultimately be the shepherd of his people himself, that he would feed them. He would feed us. He would take care of us. And it is a scriptural, biblical theme, but this biblical feeding theme, all these promises and all these implications of God taking care of us, teach us a couple things that I think are important to ponder and meditate on. The first is all these promises and all these implications of God providing food for us, his people, is first of all, it teaches us and it reminds us that we are dependent creatures. We are dependent creatures and in need. We are in need of being nourished and being taken care of. I mean, if God promises to feed us, it means we need to be fed. If we don't eat, then we will wither away and we will ultimately perish. We're not self-sufficient. We didn't create ourselves. We were created and we ultimately need to eat. That's a reality of being a human being. It's a reality of being created. And from day one of creation, well, actually day six of creation, before the fall, this was the case. It has been this way. We have a need for food and nourishment. But that's not only a random byproduct of being created. Secondly, it is by design. It is purposeful. God made us to always be in need. It is his design. It is his purpose so that, and the point of it is to keep us always looking to him, always living dependent on him, always acknowledging him as the giver and the sustainer of our lives. In other words, the promise of being fed by God keeps us always looking to God. Looking to God for our sustenance. Looking to God for our food. Looking to God, ultimately, for our life. That is, and this is, maybe these things are simple to you, but they seem profound to me, so you're just going to have to hear it. We don't just need food. What we need is food from God. In fact, it's actually even deeper than that. Among many of the things that the prohibition of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden teaches us is that we don't merely need food in some kind of a detached or an abstract way. We actually need, what we need is communion with God. As Jesus will say to the devil when tempted to make bread to satisfy his hunger. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You realize Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8 right there. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, that's where Jesus quotes that man shall not live by bread alone. The quote comes from Moses explaining what the whole point of the manna was. Moses says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, and he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It was purposeful. God purposed us to be hungry. He created us to have hunger and thirst, but he never intended us to be satisfied with mere food. God's promise to feed us has always been ultimately to draw us to himself. Let me say that again. God's promise to feed us is ultimately to draw us to himself. It's to teach us that we are dependent on him, that we don't just need any kind of food and substance, but we need, and I'll put it this way, we need the food and we need the sustenance that he promises to give us. We need the food that he alone can provide for us. In fact, Adam and Eve sought to just live, if you will, by bread alone. And they showed that that course is actually the way of death. Now, I think we're beginning to learn and to see that God's promise to feed us means far more than just material sustenance. The promise doesn't have in mind, God's promise to feed us does not have in mind just a temporal nourishment that gets us through the day and keeps us from feeling hungry. And therefore, this brings us to consider, secondly, tonight, the actual food with which he feeds us. The actual food with which we are fed. God's promise to feed us is a promise that he will grant us a satisfaction and a sustenance that is proportional to who he is and who we are. God's promise that he will grant us satisfaction and sustenance is a promise that he will feed us in such a way that is proportional to who he is and who we actually are. In other words, if we were merely material beings with just physical needs, the promise could be fulfilled by simply giving us enough of each of the major food groups. If that's all we are, then he could fulfill that promise by giving us enough physical provisions throughout our lives. But we are both body and soul. We have a physical and a spiritual part to us. And beyond just consuming enough carbs and fuel to get us through the day, we were actually created for fellowship. We were actually created to live an actually a heavenly life with the triune God. That's our design and purpose. God made us not just to get hungry and to have physical needs. God made us ultimately for fellowship with him. And therefore, the ultimate fulfillment of the promise of God to feed us is that God gives us himself. He is the food, ultimately, that he promises to feed us with. The very food and nourishment that we are promised is not something detached from and abstracted from him. He himself is the food. He is what we need, and he is what he gives us, if I could put it that way. When Jesus taught on the manna, when Jesus taught on the bread from heaven, he in no uncertain terms said that he himself is the true bread that comes down from heaven, and that if we eat of it, we will live forever. You see, Jesus Christ, God in human form, the God-man himself, is the food that was promised all along by the God of all grace. God had nothing less in mind than the giving of himself to us for the full satisfaction of our entire being. Christianity is not just a system of beliefs, although it has that. It's not just a set of exercises and motions that we go through, though it has those too. Rather, and we're learning this in the book of Acts, the Christian faith is called a life. It's called the way. It's described as a relationship with the living God. And we can have nothing more, and we get nothing less than God himself. And since the food that we are given is actually Christ himself, that teaches us. If that is the food that God ultimately gives, that's what he's ultimately promising, is himself. And that teaches us, it teaches every one of us, my greatest need is him. My greatest need is the bread from heaven. My greatest need is Jesus Christ. You see, people are made in the image of God. We are not mere animals. We don't just need something. We need someone. You weren't created. You were not created to fit into some cosmic plan of mechanistic movement, as if we're all just parts in a large machine that requires some oil or some adjustments from time to time. No, you were created to have communion with the living God himself, with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to actually partake of his nature and become part of his family. As he says right there in the end of chapter 34, you are human sheep under the care of the divine shepherd who has promised to feed you. And that is what we are given. That is what you are given in the gospel. You are never given merely justification, sanctification, eternal life. You are given all of those things, but you are given all of those things in him. You're given him, himself. At the end of the day, in fact, at the end of the age, we're not going to just be floating around in clouds trying to figure out what to do for the rest of eternity. No, you will be relating to, and you will be knowing more, and you will be communing with the eternal God who made us for himself and then made himself one of us so that he could share himself with us, so that we might have fellowship with him forever. We are not there yet in the full way that we will be. That is, we still await the return of our Savior. We still await the redemption of our bodies, the resurrection, which will usher in the eternal state wherein together each of us who are known by him will be rejoicing as his people in the full enjoyment of life together with God for eternity. And then we will have come. When that day comes, we will have come into the full inheritance and the full realization of that promise of his to feed us. We will be fully satisfied for all eternity. We will be full of joy for all eternity because we will be rejoicing in him forever. But until that time, he still feeds us. He keeps caring for us and nourishing us until the final day when we will all sit at the wedding supper of the Lamb. And we will be served by our Savior as he clothes himself in humility and he waits upon us. And in the meantime, until that day happens, he gives us a foretaste. He continues to remind us of his promise. He continues to put that pledge before us and give us a token of that promise. He gives us bread, and he gives us the fruit of the vine, and he says, take, eat, take, drink. This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood of the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we come, and here's the thing, we come not concerned about the amount of the physical symbols. This is a little bit of bread. This is a little bit of wine. We come not concerned about the amount of the physical symbols, but we come by faith rejoicing in the spiritual substance. Because the substance that we seek, when you come to the Lord's table, the substance that you seek better not be wheat and wine. But the substance that you seek better be his body and his blood. We come seeking the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And in the supper, that is what he gives us. He gives us himself. He gives us nothing less than actually what we need. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, you are the good shepherd and we are your human sheep who you have promised to feed. And we want more. Tonight, we want more than bread and wine. We want you and all your goodness. In all your grace, we want to know you. We want to become like you. And we want to rejoice in you for all eternity. And therefore, O God, feed us again tonight. May we taste and see that you, our Lord, are good. And may we want nothing more than more of you from now on into all eternity. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.